各位弟兄姊妹大家平安。
Peace to all the brothers and sisters.
今天晚上跟大家来查考神所拣选的国度。
This evening I'd like to study with everyone the topic of God elected kingdom of Messiah.
那就是要来跟我们一起来看一看我们现在读经进度的历代志上这一卷书。
And that'll correspond with our Bible reading schedule, which is First Chronicles.
我们从十月一号开始，就从昨天开始读历代志上。
Starting yesterday, October 1st, we started studying First Chronicles.
我们接下来的一个多月的时间，历代志上、历代志下，应该总共差不多快两个月要来读这两卷书。
We'll be spending almost the next 2 months studying the first and second books of Chronicles.
那这是以色列百姓的历史。
This is a history of the Israelites.
那我们现在，我们之前教会已经有读过旧约历史，那我们现在借由查考历代志上，要再一次的要回顾选民的历史，来看看他们的历史对我们来说有什么样的意义。
We've already studied the history of Israelites, so we will study the book of Chronicles to again study the history of Israelites and what are the significance of it.
所以我们如果每一天读一章呢，我们就照着教会的读经进度，我们很快的就可以把圣经熟悉了。
If we follow the Bible studying, Bible reading schedule by the church, very quickly we'll be very familiar with all the books in the Bible.
那这个历代志上下呢，这是历史书，所以很多都是跟历代志、跟列王记、跟撒母耳记很类似的。
The book of Chronicles is a historical book, so it's very familiar, very similar to the book of Kings and the book of Samuel.
我们在读这些书卷的时候，并不是只是要知道一些知识，我们重要是要能够了解它带给我们到底有什么样的教训。
When we study the books, it's not merely a knowledge of the history, but rather we need to learn what the significance of reading the books.
以色列选民他们的历史对我们来说是有意义的。
The history of Israelites carries a significant meaning to us.
本来历史就是一面镜子。
The history is like a mirror.
但是对选民来说，他们的历史对我们来说意义更重大。
To the chosen people, their history is even more important to us.
因为我们称为属灵的亚伯拉罕的后裔。
Because we are the spiritual descendants of Abraham.
这些肉体上的以色列百姓，他们所经历的，要成为我们的鉴戒。
Everything that the physical Israelite went through needs to be a warning for us.
那这个历代志本来是一卷书的，我们这个在翻译的时候，在从原文希伯来文翻译的时候，因为太长了，就把它分成上下两卷了。
The book of Chronicles originally was one book, but during the translation of Hebrews to current version, because the books was too long, it was separated into two separate smaller books.
那个希伯来文圣经的历代志这本书是他们希伯来文圣经最后一卷书。
The book of Chronicles is the last book of the Israelite books or scrolls.
但是现在我们所看的圣经历代志上下这两卷书呢，就是在以色列百姓的列王记之后，所以有一些历史会重复。
Because the chronicles that we read now is after the book of Kings, so some of the records in the history seems to be repetitive.
那所以有时候我们在读列王撒母耳记上下，然后列王记上下的时候，那接着去读历代志，想说这个故事都读过了，所以很多人都把它跳过去就没有读了。
Because after you read the book of Samuel, book of Kings, when it comes to book of Chronicles, you might think that you already read the books, so most people will skip over this book.
所以一般来说，这个历代志上下的信息呢，对一般的基督徒来说，很多都是很陌生的，说实在的。
So the truth is that the message hidden in books of Chronicles are very foreign to many Christians.
那这个历代志上下其实它有它在编撰的时候，它有一个目的的。
There is a purpose when it comes to organizing the book of Chronicles.
它就是要特别显凸显出属灵神属灵的国度，这是神在计划里面一脉相传之后神所特选的一个国度。
And because the purpose is to show the spiritual kingdom of God after one generation after another, this is the chosen spiritual kingdom of God.
最后就是要建立耶稣基督所要建设的这个属灵的主耶稣基督的身体教会的国度。
And at last, it will establish the body of Jesus Christ, which is the spiritual church.
那所以在讲这个历代志的时候呢，我们通常都会每本书都会先想说那个作者是谁，他是谁写的。
Every time we read a scripture, we always wonder who the authors are, who wrote the book.
我是什么时候写的
？And when it was written.
我们都要先知道一下。
We need to first be familiar with it.
那这个作者本身，历代志它的作者一般普遍性，包括犹太人都认为是以斯拉，文士以斯拉他所编辑的。
Most people, including the Israelites, the Jews, they believe that is the scribe Ezra that wrote the book of Chronicles.
那可能不是只有以斯拉一个人，可能有一群人一起做，不一定。
It's possible that this book is not written by Ezra alone. Perhaps it's a group of scribes.
因为这是一段的历史，以色列百姓他们整个民族的历史一个缩影，他们特地选择了一部分要把它留下来，给所有人都知道的。
Because this only reflects a small portion of the Israel history that they want to leave behind for the future generations.
所以一般来说呢，普遍性认为说历代志上下。包括列王记还有以斯拉记尼西米记呢基本上应该都是跟文士以斯拉有关系的。
And most people believe that the book of Kings, book of Chronicles, book of Ezra and Nehemiah, all have something to do with scribe Ezra.
那历代志又比较特别的地方是它就只有记载大卫王国的这一个系统，就是跟大卫王有关系的，就是南国犹大国的事情而已。
Another characteristic of the Book of Chronicles is that it only has recording about the tribe or the line of David, which is the Messiah.
所以历代志上下的历史都没有讲到北国以色列任何这件事情。
And in the Book of Chronicles, did not mention any northern kingdom.
就是说，没有讲到北国的任何一个王，他们是做什么，是好是坏都没有谈到。
In other words, did not mention anything about the kings in the northern kingdom, whether or not they're good or bad.
他特别只有记载大卫谱系里面所建立这个国度，而且是属神的祭司的国度。
And only mentioned the line of David and the priest of God.
其实这个就是已经在预告了。将来耶稣基督的国度，我们现在新约这个时代也是祭司国度的一个缩影。
And this is to foreshadow that in the future we are the kingdom of the priesthood.
所以，如果是由文士以斯拉他们这一代人所写的，那么他这些书编辑的时代，应该是在以色列百姓呢，他们被掳归回之后，哦。
If it was written by scribe Ezra, then it must be written after the Israelites returned from captivity.
那为什么他们会认为是跟以斯拉有关系呢？
Why do they think that this book is written by Ezra?
如果我们看历代志下第三十六章。
If you read 2 Chronicles chapter 36.
历代志下三十六章。
2 Chronicles 36.
三十六章，你如果看最后那二十二节啊。
If you look at verse 22.
历代志下就已经讲到以这个犹大国被灭了，被巴比伦王灭掉了，而且已经被掳到巴比伦去了，加勒底地方去了。
The latter part of this chapter mentioned that the Israel kingdom was already destroyed and they were taken captives.
然后一直到了波斯王古列元年的时候，第二十二节。
Verse 22 is not till the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia.
那就是已经被掳70年之后了，他们要准备回来了。
And that is after they were exiled for 70 years, they're about to return.
所以神为要应验借着耶利米口中所说的话，就激动波斯王古列的心，使他下诏通告全国说，第23节。
23.
波斯王古列如此说，主天上的神已将天下万国赐给我，又嘱咐我在犹大的耶路撒冷为他建造殿宇。他们中间凡做他指明的，你们中间凡做他指明的可以上去，愿神愿主他的神与他同在。这段圣经呢在讲这个古列王下诏让百姓回去回归的这个宣告了。
And here mentioned that the Cyrus, the king of Persia, made a proclamation to the Israelites.
这一段话跟以斯拉记第一章的一节到三节是一样的。
So these passages are exactly the same as Book of Ezra, chapter 1, verse 1 to 3.
所以，当然这里有很多种不同的讲法了。不过，基本上这两卷书应该是有关系的。
Of course, there are different explanations of this, but most people believe that these two books are related.
所以这个作者他的年代就是 在被掳之后，或者是至少他们在被掳归回以后，早期的时候所写的了。
And this book was written shortly after they were returned from the captivity.
那应该是在这个希腊帝国建立起来，就是在波斯之后的希腊还没有成立的时候，因为他这历代志里面完全都没有提到有关于后面的历史了。
This is in Persia. It should be before the Greece Empire was built because it did not mention anything about the empire.
所以这个就是他的作者跟他那个写作那个年代，应该就是被掳之后，应该就是公元前第五世纪左右的时候了。
And the time that this book was written is about fifth century.
那他当然这个是有关于作者本身。那他这一卷书，比如说历代志上下。他所记载的年代大概就是从大卫当王的时候一直到被掳的时代，所以从大概第十一世纪，公元前十一世纪到公元前第六世纪左右。
And this book was written from the time that's in this book is probably from the reign of David until they were taken captives about 11 AD to 6 AD.
所以是大概是公元前一千年左右，大卫当王的时代，到公元前586年，这个犹大国被掳的时候。
And it's about 11. I'm sorry, a thousand AD to
BC.
A BC.
到五八六，
to 586 BC，
所以就是从大卫当王一直记载到西底家王被他的国家被灭了之后那段历史了，这历代志的主要历史的时间点。
And the time of the history should be from the reign of David until King Hezekiah was taken captives。
啊，那这个历代志，因为我们现在要读的是这个月啊，从一号一直读到二十九，因为二十九章，所以到了10月29号，我们就读历代志上。
From this month, from the 1st to the 29th, we'll be reading the book of First Chronicles.
那这个历代志上呢，我们现在如果看的话，它那个前面都是家谱，谁的谱系是什么谱系，所以第一章到第九章都讲家谱。
So chapter 1 to chapter 9 is talking about the genealogy of the Israelites.
那从历代记上第十章开始。一直到最后历代志下最后一章，这一段历史跟撒母耳记上31章到列王记下结束都差不多一样的。就是从历代志上第十章到历代志下最后一章。
First Chronicle chapter 10 to the last chapter of Second Chronicle。
跟撒母耳记上31章到列王记下最后一章。
And the recording is the same as as the Second Samuel, chapter 31.
到列王记下25章
to Second King chapter 25.
哦，这个就是他这个历史基本上是重叠，就是说他讲的故事啊，有时候是一样的，跟列王撒母耳记跟列王记是一样的。
Some of the history is a duplicate, meaning that they record the same history.
那。所以有时候我们在读历代志的时候，有一些故事啊，一些历史，你可以对照撒母耳记跟列王记去看看他怎么写的。
Sometimes when we read the passages, the stories in the Book of Chronicles, we can correspond the story with the same events written in the Book of Samuels and written in the Book of Kings.
那关于这个历史，因为我们现在在看这些记载的时候，我们通常都会发现哦。有时候你这边看跟列王记所记的跟历代志所记的，有时候你会发现有一些差异的。
And sometimes when you read the same event, how it's written in the Book of Kings may be different from Book of Chronicles.
那这里面有很多，我们如果在读的时候，我们仔细读。通常我们在读圣经的时候，就顺便呢、啊，如果我们还有时间的话，顺便对照读一下列王记。
When you read the Book of Chronicles, if you have time, you can correspond that with the Book of Kings.
撒母耳记上啊记下啊、这个。
Or with the Second Samuel.
那这样子你就会发现那个他那个有时候记载的时候有一些出入了。
Then you'll realize that the recording of the same events may be slightly different.
那这些出入呢，当然有很多原因。
There are many reasons as to why there are some differences.
不过你会发现有一个特性。
But you'll realize that there's one special characteristic.
就历代志里面他所讲的这个数目啊，他里面讲这个多少人， 什么多少几万就几万，通常在历代志里面的数目都比较大。
The numbers, how certain number of people, usually it's more, that's recorded in the book of Chronicles, usually it's more than the amount that's recorded in other books.
所以这个在这个平行的事件，同一件事情里面，列王记或者是撒母耳记所记的数字会比历代志的还少一点。
So the same event, when it's recorded in the book of Samuel and book of Kings, the numbers are less than what's recorded in the book of Chronicles.
啊，我们不要觉得说那圣经写错了。
So, but don't think that the Bible recorded wrong.
他其实会后来会发现说，其实他到底谁对谁错？后来有时候他们在这个研究的时候发现说，哎。有的部分是历代志比较准，有的是可能是列王记的比较准，所以不太一定。
So according to the experts, they'll realize that some events are more accurate in the book of Chronicles, others are more accurate in the book of Kings. It's not always consistent.
我们来看一个例子，我们先看撒母耳记下第八章。
Let's look at an example, 2 Samuel chapter 8.
撒母耳记下第八章。
2 Samuel chapter 8.
第八章。我们现在看第三节跟第四节。
Verse 3 to verse 4.
这是索巴王利和的儿子哈大底谢往大河去，要夺回他的国权，大卫就攻打他。第四节。
4.
擒拿了他的马兵1700，步兵20000，将拉战车的马砍断筋啊蹄筋，但留下100辆车的马。哦，这一段在讲这个大卫。他跟这个索巴王征战的历史。
Here talks about the history of David fighting against Hadadezer.
那他打败了这个王哦，抓了他的马兵1700了哈。
So he won and captured 17,000 of charioteers.
那我们现在把这个留着哈，把这里留着，现在看一下历代志上第十八章。
With this in mind, let's look at 1 Chronicles chapter 18.
历代志上十八章
First Chronicles 18
我们现在看第三节
18:3
十八章第三节哦，这个一样是跟索巴王哈大利谢啊打战的
In verse 3 also records the battle of David against Hadadezer
哦，所以同一件事情那第四节夺了他的战车1000马兵7000步兵20000将拉战车的马砍断蹄筋但留下100辆车的马所以这一段是一样的但是在历代志里面 他所抓的那个马兵就是7000了不是1700了
It's recording about the same event but here David only captured 7000 charioteers not 17,000
所以有可能是比喻那也有可能是为了要凸显大卫 他们所得到的胜利是有多大
Perhaps this is merely a mistake in scribing or to show what a victory David was.
好，那我们现在再看一个例子，历代志上第21章。
Let's look at another example, 1 Chronicles chapter 21.
历代志上21章。
1 Chronicles chapter 21.
这21章是大卫数点百姓他所得到的结果。
And 21 is David numbers the fighting men.
那这个数点百姓这件事情是神不喜悦的啊。
When this is something that was displeasing to God.
那但是他们就已经算好了多少人嘛，因为要算出来就第五节，我们看第五节。
Verse 5.
那第五节，这个以色列拿刀的有110万，犹大人拿刀的有47万啊。啊，这个就是这个这里。哦，以色列人比较多，有110万呢。
And here the Israelites were one million one hundred thousand.
那犹大是47万啊。
And Judah is 470,000.
同样这一件事情，数点百姓这件事啊，在撒母耳记下24章啊。
In 2 Samuel chapter 24 also records the same event of David numbering the fighting men.
那我们现在看一下他到底写多少万呢、啊、
？And let's see how many people was recorded here.
第九节。
Verse 9.
撒母耳记下24章的第九节。
Second Samuel chapter 24 verse 9。
约押将百姓的总数作告于王，以色列拿刀的勇士有80万，犹大有50万啊，你就看到这里啊，就有差异了啊。
And you can see that it's recorded slightly different here.
那所以在这个 在这个人数上啊，这个就差很多，八十万跟一百一十万就差三十万去了。
80,000 and 1,100,000 is different by 300,000.
所以这个类似像这些数字上的差异呢，有时候因为他们在誊写圣经的时候，有时候可能在数字上会有一些错误，那是可以理解的了。
When they are writing or scribing the Bible, sometimes they make mistakes. This is very understandable.
但是它的重点其实都是数字的大的数字都叫凸显大卫国度的强大。
The books that records a higher or bigger number is to show the victory of David's kingdom.
那这是有关于军队啊得胜的部分。那我们现在来看一下历代志里面也有记载有关于圣殿的事。
And in the book of Chronicles, also records matters regarding the temple.
我们现在既然已经在，我们现在如果看一下那个列王记啊，看列王记上，列王记上第六章，这个所罗门建圣殿的时候。
Let's look at 1 Kings chapter 6, when Solomon built the temple.
那个圣殿到底有多高哦？
And see how tall was the temple.
那个列王记上第六章。
First King chapter 6.
第二节啊。
Verse 2.
第二节这里所罗门王为神所建的殿啊长60轴宽20轴高30轴。殿前的廊子长20轴与殿的宽窄一样阔10轴。这里是列王记里面有关于圣殿的那个大小。
Here's recording of the size of the temple, in the book of Kings.
这个30轴高30轴其实就是大概45尺啊。
So 30 cubit is about 45 feet.
45尺其实就已经蛮高的了。
So 45 feet actually is very tall.
应该如果9尺一楼的话就已经大概五层楼高的建筑物了。
If each floor is about 9 feet, then it's about a 5-story building.
我们的会堂的屋顶大概也没有可能也不到30尺啊。
And even our the size of our church here is probably not as high as that.
但是圣殿普罗门那个时候圣殿是45尺。
But the King Solomon, when he built the temple, it was 45 feet tall.
那在历代志里面，他记的就差很多了。
But what's recorded in Book of Chronicles is very different.
我们现在看历代志下第三章。
Let's look at Second Chronicles chapter 3.
历代志下第三章。
Second Chronicles chapter 3.
第三章的第三节。
Chapter 3, verse
3. 那这里在这个，我们直接看。哦，第三节啊，所罗门建筑神殿的根基乃是这样，长60轴，宽20轴，都按古时的尺寸。第四节
，Verse four，
殿前的廊子长20轴，与殿的宽窄一样，高120轴，里面贴上金金哦。这里他讲高度就变120轴啊。
And here is 120 cubit。
哦，120轴就很高了。
And that's very tall。
120轴大概就是150尺啊，180尺，很高啊。
120 cubit is about 150 feet.
你就看到说，如果按照它的比例哦，这个120尺的比较夸张啊。
If you look at this proportion, you'll realize that 120 cubit is more of exaggeration.
你说按照它的宽长宽高的比例看哦，列王记的记载的事实上是比较合理的。
If you look at the proportion or the dimension of the temple, what's recorded in the Book of Kings is probably more logical.
那他现在《列王记》里面这样写，其实就是要凸显说这个神国的荣耀。
The reason it's written this way is to show the glory of God's kingdom.
所以要强调哦，神给他们的祝福。
Is to emphasize the fact that God has showered the blessings upon them.
那这些数字上的差异并不会影响这整卷书的真实性。
The difference in the numbers will not affect the truity or the how real these books are.
好，所以这一卷书里面的一些特质哦，就是在数字上会有一些差异，我们要了解一下。
One of the characteristics that we need to know about the Book of Chronicles is that there may be slight variation in the numbers here.
那历代志里面呢，它特别强调都是神对大卫家跟所罗门这个整个家族的这个祝福。
Also, what's emphasized here is God's blessing towards the household of David and Solomon.
从整卷历代志上，基本上它就记载两件事而已。
The entire Book of First Chronicle is recording two major things.
第一 第一章到第九章就是讲家谱。
First, chapter 1 to chapter 9 is talking about the family tree genealogy.
从第十章到最后都是讲大卫王、大卫国度的事情。
From chapter 10 to the last book is talking about matters of David's kingdom.
然后从历代志下第一章到第九章都在讲所罗门王国的时所罗门的时代。
Second Chronicle chapter 1 to chapter 9 is talking about the time of King Solomon.
所以那个把那个大卫家跟所罗门家他们这个当时候所得到神的祝福跟称神的国得荣耀这个情景啊叙述的非常完整而且占 很长的篇幅。
It is a complete recording, of the blessings to the family of David and family of Saul.
这是要特别凸显出大卫这个人当王的时代他怎么样得到神的喜悦神怎么样祝福让他的国度很强盛从里到外都很强盛。
It's especially to show the fact that how David feared, God, so God blessed him so that he was strong, on the inside and the outside.
所以大卫就成为以后所有要当王的这些后代子孙效法的榜样了。
So David became an example, that all the future kings to imitate, from.
所以从历代志下开始你看到犹大在记载列王的故事的时候如果他是个好王他一定会写他是效法他的祖先大卫所行神看为善看为正的事情。
In the second chronicle, if there's any king that, follows God's commands, the Bible will say that the king is following, his ancestor David's example.
他如果是坏王哦恶王哦他就写说他不行大他不效法他祖先大卫所行神看为正看为恶看为善的事。
If it's an evil king, then the Bible will say that, this king is not following the example of his forefather David.
所以大卫就成为他们的标准了。
So David becomes a standard.
那所以这是为什么他在记载这个整个历代志的那个故事里面他花了很长的篇幅在讲大卫家的时代的事情。
This is why that this book spent, a large portion talking and recording about the family of David.
那大卫有什么特质？
What are the characteristics of David?
大卫圣经特别提到他是一个合神心意的人。
The Bible tells us that David is somebody pleasing to God.
所以大卫哦，他就很听神的话，很顺服神。
David was very obedient to God's commands.
是神说什么他就说什么，他就做什么。
And he does whatever God tells him to do.
然后他凡事就是尊重神这样。
Everything he does, he honors God.
所以要凸显出顺服神的人就会得祝福
昌盛。And this is to show that whoever honors and obedient to God will be prosperous.
但是如果是违背神的就会灭亡就会得灾祸。
For a person that disobeys God, that destruction will come to him.
那国家的百姓就受灾殃了。
And the ruin will come to its people.
哦，所以这个历代志特别是历代志上啊它基本上是两大段。家谱跟大卫的时代的事情。
And the book of First Chronicle is separated into two portions. First about the genealogy of David. Second is recording of David.
然后在大卫在大记载有关大卫这个国度的事情的时候，在历代志里面凸显出另外一个特质，就是他特别记载的这个立位祭司立位人呢，他们在圣殿的工作里面到底他们要做什么？
And when it talks about the family of, or the household of David, especially mentioned, the tribe Levi and what are their jobs in the temple.
在这个历代志上里面他讲这个要建造圣殿时候大卫那个心意他当时候想要为神建殿的他整个心情的表达。
And First Chronicle also records, David's thoughts and emotions when it comes to, preparing for the building of the temple.
从第二十三章历代志的二十三章历代志上的二十三章开始呢，这个就是特别记载这个祭司立位人他们每一个家族他们所要做的事，大卫立了一个制度。
And, First Chronicle chapter 23, it talks about, the duty of the Levi, the duties that's established by, David.
这个祭司的班次，然后立位人要做什么，做哪些工作，我当时写得很清楚了。
And it has a detailed description of each Levite's, job and duties.
那所以呢，他记载这些圣殿里面的，就是像软体一样，大卫本来是想要硬体跟软体都要全部一起做的。
And this is like a software, or the software part. David originally his intent was to build the hardware, and also set up the software.
但是神不要他去盖殿。
But God did not want him to build the temple.
他说要这个圣殿的工作要给他的儿子所罗门来做。
God wanted to save the building of the temple for his son Solomon.
但是大卫 他在活着的时候就已经把这个圣殿将来盖好以后啊，要怎么样运作，里面应该有哪些人，要做什么事情，他都把它设计得非常的完整。
But David, when he was alive, he already planned out the operation, the detail of every operational aspect of the temple.
所以我们就看到这个大卫啊，他对神的事情非常在意。
From here, we can see that David cared a lot about the matters of God.
他也知道说，在这个圣殿里面，现在祭司立位人呢，他如果建了圣殿之后，从此以后这个立位人他们就不用再搬。不用再扛那个圣殿会幕的东西了，他们要做什么？
He knows that once they build a temple, the Levites will no longer need to carry the ark, so they have their specific duties.
所以大卫他对这个整个圣殿的祭司制度这个整个运作，他有一个非常好的那个计划。
So David had a great plan regarding the system of Levites in their operation.
当然，这也有一个。后面一个影响是他没有看见的了，大卫没有看见的。
But this also had an impact on the future, something that he could not foresee.
也就是说，他现在这个每一个制度都用得很有条有理哦，到最后百姓慢慢落入一个这个形式里面了。
There was he had he had everything organized and everything thought out, but what he did not foresee is that in the future the Jews will fall into the routine matter of formality.
那这个所以圣殿在这里啊，那我们有祭司啊，我们有所有这一套整个制度啊，你看这个神与我们同在，我们怎么可能会圣殿被毁？怎么可能会？敌人会打胜我们，那是不可能。他们认为不可能。
So the people think that they have a temple, they have the Levites to serve God, so God is with them. They can't possibly lose a battle.
但其实后来百姓他们慢慢呢，在敬拜神的事情上流于形式化之后，最后他们其实是被掳，圣殿被毁，是很悲惨的结局的。
So after a while, the people had departed from God, so they only follow the formality of honoring God. So at the end, the temple was destroyed, the people were taken captives.
那这一件事情要留给我们一个很大的见解。
This also should serve as a great warning for us.
这个以后我们有时间再来谈。
Then we'll talk more about this if we have time in the future.
那个这个整个历代志上啊，这两大段，第一章到第九章跟第十章到二十九章啊，我们现在可以。可以看到这个分段是很清晰的了。
We can see two distinct parts of First Chronicle. One is chapter 1 to 9, the second part is chapter 10 to 29.
然后从第十章就很简单的记载这个扫罗家哈，他就被神遗弃了，就是神不要扫罗了。
The chapter 10 it records how God forsakes or abandoned King Saul.
所以大卫出场的时候。大卫出场之前就是扫罗先死。
So before David came out, King Saul died first.
那扫罗死就是因为没有遵行神的命令。
Saul died because he did not obey God's commands.
我们现在看第十章的第十一节。
Let's turn to chapter 10, verse 13.
这样扫罗死了，因为他干犯神，没有遵守神的命，又因为他求问交鬼的妇人。十四节。
14.
没有求问神，所以神使他被杀。把国归给耶西的儿子大卫啊，这一段第十章就是一个转折，从家谱，然后之后，这个其实扫罗已经当王当四十年了，但是他现在马上要把他转到大卫的国度去。扫罗先死，因为不遵守神的命令。
First Chronicles chapter 10 is a turning point, because King Saul had reigned for 40 years, but in this chapter he died because he was unfaithful to God.
好，那从十一章开始就是大卫出场了。
So starting from chapter 11, David shows.
那大卫出场，他现在被百姓拥立在希伯伦当王。
So David was being crowned as a king in Hebron.
所以历代志里面从十一章、十二章这两章里面哦，记载很多大卫国度里面的勇士。
And in chapter 11, chapter 12 has a lot of recording about David's mighty men.
那这些勇士呢，是特别在列王记里面呢，跟撒母耳记里面都没有讲那么清楚的。
And the recording of the David mighty men or warrior was not recorded as much in as detail in book of Samuel and Kings.
这告诉我们说，这个神的国度要建立，真的要需要勇士的帮忙的。
And what this tells us is if we want to establish the kingdom of God, we need the help of the warriors.
当然。大卫的出现，他的国度的建立是神特殊的恩典，神拣选，神保守的。
Of course, David established his kingdom is because God chose him, God protected him.
但是 他里面的勇士，国度里面的勇士，帮助他建立国度，这些人是不可少的。
But these mighty men, these warriors, were indispensable.
所以从第十一章开始到十二章，注意看看那个所谓的大能的勇士。
So if you pay attention, starting from chapter 11 to chapter 12, the mighty men.
我们看第十一章第十节。
Chapter 11, verse 10.
以下记录跟随大卫勇士的首领，就是奋勇帮助他得国，照着神吩咐以色列人的话，与以色列人一同立他做王。做王的，好，现在写大卫的勇士数目记在下面。好，开始他要讲大卫的勇士了。
And then the following is a recording of David's mighty men.
我们现在看第二十六节，十一章二十六节。
Chapter 11, verse 26.
军中的勇士有约押的兄弟亚撒黑、伯利恒人朵多的儿子伊勒哈难。哦，这个军中的勇士，他现在讲勇士。
And here talks about the mighty men.
然后现在看第十二章啊，第十节。
Chapter 12, verse 10.
第十二章第十节。
Chapter 12, verse 10.
十二章的第八节，对不起。加德支派中有人到旷野的山寨投奔大卫，都是大能的勇士，能拿盾牌和枪的战士，他们的面貌好像狮子，快跑如同山上的鹿。这也讲他这个勇士的一个特质。
Here talks about the characteristic of the warrior.
然后现在再看那里他的勇士第二十一节
，Verse 21。
二十一节，这些人帮助大卫攻击群贼，他们都是大能的勇士，且做军长的。然后第二十二节，这里说，那时天天有人来帮助大卫，以致成了大军，如神的军一样。他都在讲这个这些勇士们，他们所在他的这个大卫的国度所扮演的角色。
And here talks about the role of the brave warriors in the kingdom of David.
然后第二十五节、第二十八节，到第二十七节，三十二节都是在讲这个勇士啊。
So verse 25, 28, verse 32 all talks more about the men of warriors.
好，那我们现在最后看第三十八节。
And lastly, let's look at verse 2038.
以上都是能守行伍的战士，他们都诚心来到希伯伦，要立大卫做以色列的王。以色列其余的人也都一心要立大卫做王啊。那这里就是这些帮助大卫成立国度这些勇士们的一些美好的那个记录。
And these are the beautiful recording examples of the fighting men who helped David and crowned him the king.
大卫建立国度，那个他这个国度建立稳固以后，接下来十三章开始，马上讲到他要把这个约柜迎到大卫城来。
After David established his kingdom was stable. Chapter 13 immediately talks about how David wanted to bring the Ark back.
因为他已经国度稳固了，他也要为自己建造宫殿。他现在想到我住宫殿，但是神的约柜是住在帐篷，那怎么可以？
Because his kingdom was stable, so now he's about to build a palace for himself. This is when he realized that how can I build a palace for myself when the ark is not in the temple?
所以从十三章到十六章，这几章啊，十三、十四、十五、十四章里面呢，他在讲这个迎接约柜进耶路撒冷大卫城的这个整个经过。
In chapter 13 and chapter 16, the following four chapters talks about how they brought back the ark.
那一开始大卫他也犯错。
In the beginning, David also had made mistakes.
所以你看那个他要运这个约柜进耶路撒冷城的时候，第十三章第一节啊。
Chapter 13, verse 1, when he was bringing the ark back to Jerusalem.
你看大卫跟千夫长、百夫长，就是一切首领商议。他现在要去把约柜运回来的时候，他不是跟祭司、利未人商议，他是跑去跟这些首领们商议，军人商议的。
When he was bringing back the ark, instead of discussing it with the Levites or the priests, he went and discussed and conferred with his officers and commanders, the military men.
要怎么样把他运回来？他们现在得到一个方法是用车子去载。
And so he talked about how he should bring the ark back. So the conclusion they drew was to bring it back with a chariot.
结果后来就是这个乌撒呢，被神击杀。
Then they were killed, and then Uzza was killed by God.
本来很盛大的这个欢迎的场面都变丧礼啊，就后来就作罢，就把他放到俄别以东家去了。
And if this should have been something that is a blessing, but instead it became a funeral. So then they ended up putting the ark beside aside to the house of Obed Edom the Gittite.
所以第十三章的第十四节就是讲，最后这个约柜就停在俄北以东家三个月了。
And chapter four, verse 14 mentioned that the ark was there for 3 months.
那这一段历史在那个撒母耳记里面也写得很清楚。
And this history is also written in detail in Book of Samuel.
那到第十五章呢？你看到第十五章最第二次这个大卫准备要把约柜再运回来，因为现在他真的觉得说有约柜神所同在的地方，有施恩座就有福气。
And this chapter 15 records David's second attempt to bring the ark back because he realized that wherever the ark is, there's a mercy seat.
那时候他要抬第二次，他现在要把约柜迎回来的时候，他现在就得到教训，他都知道约柜是要怎么样处理的，用抬的，不是用坐车的。
Then he learned his lesson when he attempted to bring the ark back. He realized that the ark needs to be carried and not placed on the chariot.
所以第十五章第二节就是那时候，你看大卫说，除了利未人之外，无人可抬神的约柜，因为神拣选他们来抬神的约柜。所以约柜是要利未人来抬的。
And the ark has to be carried by Levites.
所以呢，你看那个时候这个。大卫就开始准备要派哪些利未人来抬，他现在开始就是第十五章就讲很清楚他怎么样把约柜迎回来的过程了。
Then chapter 15 goes into detail about how David prepared the Levites to carry the ark.
然后在这个整个这个过程当中，他怎么样为百姓祝福，他得到神的这个喜爱。
And that during the entire process how he blessed the Israelites, the people, and how he was blessed by God.
那现在约柜回到这个大卫城住下来他现在开始就要设立这些利未人在约柜前侍奉的制度，十六章就讲这个。
And after the ark was brought back to Jerusalem, the city of David, then David established the hierarchy of how to serve before the ark.
然后从十七章开始呢，现在开始大卫想要为神建造圣殿了。
Then chapter 17, David now wants to build a temple for God.
17章到22章，这基本上这六章都在讲他建造筹划建造圣殿的过程。
Chapter 17 to chapter 22 mentioned or is a recording of David's plan for building the temple.
那当然要建造圣殿那里面通常也记载神怎样帮助他让国度更稳固，那些四围的国的那些异族别的族都在他面前称臣就是不敢跟他作对的。
In these five chapters also mentioned how God made his kingdom more prosperous and how his enemies were afraid of them.
那这一段从十七章开始呢，这个你看在整个过程里面在历代志里面没有看到像撒母耳记讲大卫犯罪的经过。
What you might notice is that in these five chapters, in the book of Chronicles, it did not mention how David had sinned against God, which was recorded in the book of Samuel.
那大卫犯罪的这个过程，其实在撒母耳记下第十一章那他这个历史在历代志上第二十章里面就是同一个时间点，但是历代志里面就不说了。
And David's sin against God is recorded in 2 Samuel chapter 11, which is about the same time as 1 Chronicles chapter 20. But 1 Chronicles did not mention the matter of David sinning against God.
但是大卫他犯罪以后接下来他就很多神的处罚就跟着出现了。
But after David sinned against God, God's punishment then came.
最后他只有写一件事情，就是他数点百姓这件事。
It only record how he numbered his people.
然后神向他发怒。
And God was angry towards David.
好，然后到了第二十三章开始。
So starting from chapter 23,
就是所罗门做以色列王了。
Then Solomon became a king of Israel.
他先立所罗门做王。
He first anointed Solomon as a king.
从二十三章到二十七章，这个就是大卫为神的殿所准备的，要怎么样祭司立位人要管理神圣殿事务的整个制度，祭司制度。
From chapter 23 to 27, it records the hierarchy, the organization, the Levites when it comes to serving God.
他的那个标准就是他本来的范本，就是摩西五经里面 神所吩咐的那个律法。
And the standard of which David went by is what's recorded in the Mosaic laws.
但是他现在把这个整个祭司、立位人、服侍神的这个这些工作把它制度化。
But he put the Levites' duty and organization into writing.
然后最后第二十八章、二十九章就是大卫宣告他要建造圣殿的计划，跟他最后的吩咐。
Chapter 28 and 29 is David proclaiming the plans for the temple and his last instructions.
第二十八章的第一节。
Chapter 28, verse 1.
这是他对军长、首领、军长、千夫长、百夫长跟那些太监、大能的勇士们宣告的，他想要建造圣殿这个心意。
And chapter 28, verse 1 is David telling the officials, summon them to tell them that he wanted to build a temple for God.
第二十九章。
Chapter 29.
第一节。
Verse 1.
大卫王对会众说，所以这最后一章是他对整个全体百姓宣告。
Then chapter 29 is David's proclaiming to the entire people, the entire assembly.
然后就鼓励勉励会众，大家一起来为建造神的殿来奉献他们所从神所得到的财物。
Then he encouraged the people to offer all their resources and their goods for the sake of building the temple of God.
所以最后第九，你们看第九节那里。
Verse 9.
因为这些人诚心乐意献给神，百姓就欢喜，大卫王也大大欢喜。就是众人呢，百姓全体一起参与建造圣殿的奉献工作。
And the entire people of Israel all participated in the building of the temple.
所以这里面呢、这个就是历代志上这个整个后面的从十章之后它整个大概的历史啊。
And this is a brief
分段啊。
This is a brief description of the history of Israel recorded starting from chapter 10 of First Chronicles.
那这个历史读起来容易一点，所以我们自己读啊，就会一件事情一件事情这个比较没有问题。
And it's easier to read the history, so when we read the history one story at a time, it's not that difficult.
现在比较困难的是第一章到第九章这个家谱，谁生谁，谁生谁，读到最后可能都跳过去，不要看了。
But what we find probably more challenging is chapter 1 to chapter 9 when it talks about the genealogies. Oftentimes we want to skip over it.
但是其实历代志上的这九章里面的家谱其实很重要的。
But the genealogy recording in the first nine chapters is rather important.
圣经中的家谱有几个意义。
There are a few meanings to the genealogies recorded in the Bible.
就家族来说。
Take as a family as an example.
这个家谱它有排名的顺序就是谁生谁，谁当老大，这个它有一个排名的顺序。反映他这个人在这个作者本身他心目中的地位。
There is a order of which the names are recorded in the genealogy, and this reflects a person's importance in the mind of the author.
所以你看，一个人他如果是有长子或者是不是长子，你从家谱的排列里面大概可以看出他这个有一些线索的。
And if a person is the firstborn or maybe not the firstborn, from the way they are listed in the genealogy, you can find some clues.
那第二个意义就是在政治上跟法律上的这个责任上的那个界定上。
And the second is its significance in law or politics.
在政治这个权力的这个传递上面在家谱里面可以看到这个继承的这个系统。
From the passing of the power, the authority from one to another, you can see the hierarchy or the order in the genealogy.
所以如果有人对这个权力本身不顺服那就拿家谱来看到底谁是谁的子孙，就知道你要不要听我的话，意思就是这样子。
If a person is not obedient, then you can take out the genealogy book and see who gave birth to whom and the order they're in.
那有时候在社会上包括这个继承土地财产，这个从家谱上也可以看得到的。
And when it comes to inheriting land or inheriting assets, you can also see that order in the genealogy books.
所以有关他们的土地，他们这个每一个家族的这个界限呢，他们在哪里？只要是哪一个家，你是哪一个家族的，哪一个支派的，其实都可以看到，你就可以避免很多纠纷。只要看家谱就知道你应该是这个应该住在哪里的。
When it comes to obtaining lands or assets, you just have to refer to the book of to the genealogy and know which boundaries you have. What are the boundaries of your land and where you're supposed to have?
那么要去征兵那些出去打仗那个大能的勇士 拿刀的哈，这个也是从家谱里面去叫人来。这个家族里哪些人是应该上前线的？
When
you're, 就是按家谱来找人的。
When you're forming an army, for example, those brave men that can carry swords to fight, they were called according to the genealogy.
那个第三个意义就是它宗教上的意义。
And it has the genealogy has its significance, in the religious, and, family, aspects.
那宗教就是 religion.
Religion.
家谱里面定义你如果是利未人，你才可以去圣殿服事。
According to the genealogy, you have to be a Levite to serve in the temple.
你这个是不是可以当祭司的？你看看你是不是亚伦家族的这个系统。
Whether or not you can be a priest depends whether or not you're descendant of Aaron.
那如果家谱不明的就不可以当。
If you're not clearly recorded in the genealogy, then you can't be a priest.
哦，这个就是为什么在以斯拉那个时代，他们被掳归回以后啊，重新要回来去圣殿里面去服侍神哦。这个家谱如果不明的就不可以当祭司了。
And this is why in the book of Ezra, after they return from captivity, when they're serving God, if their genealogy is not clear, then they can't serve God.
所以这整个在旧约时代那个他们的记载家谱，就是实际上是对他们整个犹太人来说很重要了。
So the genealogy recorded in the Old Testament is very important to the Jews.
那现在历代志上第一章开始啊，他一开始就讲亚当生赛特，赛特生以挪士。
In 1 Chronicles chapter 1, it says, it records, that Adam, Seth, and Enosh.
其实历代志他目标就是要把大卫引出来嘛，最后就是要大卫要出场嘛。
The purpose of the Chronicles is to eventually lead to David.
那大卫要出场之前，他现在从亚当开始讲起。
Before David appears, the Bible first talk about Adam.
所以他先要强调大卫的家族那个渊源，一直推到神最前面那个亚当是谁的谁亚当是谁的儿子呢
？And this is the so it traces David's genealogy all the way back to Adam because who is Adam born from？
亚当是神造的，是神的儿子。
Adam was made from God, so Adam was God's son.
所以他现在要把这个大卫，他这个当王的这个整个系统意义，把它界定是其实从神来的。
And this is to show that the kingship of David comes from God.
所以啊，你看在第一章一开始讲亚当，所以从第一节到第四节啊，从亚当到挪亚十代，一共有十代。
From Adam to Noah, there are 10 generations.
哦。那这个时代都是很简单的描述，一代接一代的，谁接续谁这样子，有一个系统。
So there are 10 generations is described very, very explicitly because there is very organized.
啊，那个这个系统本身其实就是在讲神的拣选。
The system tells us that God's election.
亚当生很多孩子，但是他现在只有讲赛特。
Adam had many sons, but he only mentioned Seth.
赛特也生很多孩子，但是只有讲以挪士。
Seth also had many sons, but Bible only mentioned Enosh.
所以他现在从亚当一直推到挪亚的时候，这个就是这个一脉系统下来啊，从挪亚之后就方舟洪水灭世嘛，所以这个就是他这个特讲神的拣选。
When from Adam down to Noah, after Noah, the flood came, the world was destroyed. This tells us a special thing about God's election.
好，那从第五节开始到第二十七节，在讲挪亚这三个儿子的后代。
From verse 5 to verse 27 talks about the seven sons of Noah.
那第一个先讲亚弗，五到七节，亚弗的后代。
Five to seven is a descendant of Jephthites.
那第八节到第十六节在讲韩的后代。
And verse 8 to verse
16.
Verse 16 is Hamite's descendants.
那从17节到27节在讲闪的后代。
From 17 to 27 is the descendant of Semites.
你看那个写的那个长度越来越长，那个节数越来越多了哈。
And you can see that the passages are longer, longer. The recordings takes more verses.
啊，他其实是把重要的他要讲的放在最后讲。
But the most important thing is left for the last verse.
所以他就把那个。闪的后代讲的比较详细。
So it gives more detailed description of the descendant of Semites.
那这个家谱这一段描述里面，有时候你会看到这个，你如果从谁生谁，然后现在突然之间出现一个名字是你在前面找不到的，就是他突然出现一个名字是前面说谁谁的儿子没有了。 And
sometimes in the book, when you read the genealogy, you'll see that certain person bore a son, but once in a while you'll see the name is not recorded anywhere in the prior genealogy.
也就是他可能不是这个孩子，这几个孩子里面，然后这些是哪一代，他就是挑一个他觉得这个很重要的这个人，他要记录，所以他挑出来的。哦，所以不是每一个名字你都可以从那个家谱里面找到说，哦，这是谁的儿子，要突然出现一个。可能某某人的儿子，他就把他记下去了。
Because there are many sons, and not everybody is recorded, so the author will pick one son to be recorded.
好，那从第二十八节开始到第三十四节是讲亚伯兰的后代。
So from 28 to verse 34, mentions the family of Abraham.
哦，亚伯兰很多孩子。
Abraham had many sons.
但是真正他要重点就是那个以撒这个后代。
But the most important, the emphasis is the Esau's sons.
好，那讲以撒的后代里面又谈到以扫。
And in
哦，以扫的儿子里面是以扫跟以色列嘛，哈。
In the descendant of Isaac, especially talks about Esau's sons.
好，那那个从三十五节到三十七节，这个是以扫的后裔，很清楚。
And verse 35 to verse 37 clearly records Esau's sons.
三十八节到四十二节，这个讲一个西尔的后裔啊。
And verse 38 to verse 42 is a son of Sire.
这个西尔的儿子，这个西尔到底是谁
？Who is Sire？
因为这个西尔其实也不是这个以扫的后代啊。
Because Sire is not a descendant of Esau.
那因为这一件事情，西尔的后代。就是在创世纪三十六章里面特别有写的。
And the sons of Esau is recorded in Genesis chapter 36.
这个西尔是何利人，是西尔山的原住民。
Sire, people of Sire, they were the natives of.
何利哈。
Of Hor.
第二十节的哦，三十六章二十节，所以。这个是何利人希尔的后代了，不是以扫，不是这个以扫的后代哦。
So the sons of Sire, the Horite, they are not the son of Esau.
那他这是因为他住在以东地这个地方啊，跟那个以扫的后代混合在一起的民族。
Because they live in the area of Edom, so there is some mix with the descendants of Esau.
所以这一段特别又加了一个西尔的后代。
And so in this passage, it mentioned the people of Sire.
然后接下去讲以东的族的这个家谱啊，以东的这个族长啊。
And then it went on and mentioned the rulers of Edom.
基本上跟创世纪三十六章是一样的。
And it's basically the same as Genesis chapter 36.
然后从第二章开始，现在开始讲以色列的儿子了。现在该讲这十二个支派的儿子。
Chapter 2 is started to record the sons of Israel.
从第二章到第八章都在讲以色列这十二个支派的家谱。
Chapter 2 to chapter 8 talks about the tribes or the family tree of Israel.
那这个十二个支派的家谱记得最详细的是犹大支派。
Among the recording of the 12 tribes, the genealogy of tribe of Judah is recorded the most in detail.
因为大卫是犹大支派的。
Because David came from Judah.
然后这个犹大支派那个大卫的子孙呢，第三章哦，就讲大卫的儿子就写得很清楚。
Chapter 3, it has a detailed recording of the sons of David.
然后之后讲西缅，然后讲接下去比较重要的部分就是利未支派的后代。
Then it went on and record the descendants or the sons of Levites.
好，所以那个就是这个前面这个到第八章，关于这个十二个支派的家谱啊。
So chapter 1 to chapter 8 records the genealogy of the 12 tribes.
那到第九章这个部分就是被掳归回的犹大人的这些领导人的首领的名字这个家谱。
And so chapter 9 records the leaders of the Judah as they return.
哦，所以这个就是被掳的时代，这些家谱也都是很清楚。
So even during captivity, their genealogy was very recorded in detail.
哦，所以现在你看那个，他特别讲这个，把家谱讲到最后，讲到大卫出现的时候，他就是把这个系统把它写得很，他很有巧妙的把它写出了这个整个从大卫 从神来的，然后到大卫建立国度了啦。
And the this book strategically records that this line came from God and how it leads to the kingdom of David.
那这个其实就是神的计划，
and this
神的拣选
is the election and the plan of God.
你看这个十二个支派讲到最后是被掳的时候，他们归回嘛，从外国回来的时候是已经亡国了，然后现在又回来了，他们这个家谱系统还在了。
Because they were their nation was destroyed and they were exiled, but now they return. Yet their genealogy is still recorded the same.
所以从家谱中我们看到哈，神拣选的计划，神绝对的拣选，神就要选这么多子孙里面选这一个人出来。
And from the genealogy, we can see God's election that among all the sons, God only picked one son.
然后从他去建立这个很荣耀的国度。
And from that one son, God builds His glorious kingdom.
那这个国度里面，它里面有要怎么样敬拜神的这个整个制度系统。
And among the in the nation, there is an order of how God wants them to worship Him.
那这个每一个王都是跟大卫的系统有关系的，都是从大卫系统下来的。
And every king came from the line of David.
但是有一些王就是不要行大卫所行的这个神所喜悦的事。
But some refused to follow the example of David and do things that are pleasing to God.
然后最后就被那国家整个国家被毁。
So their kingdom, their nation wasn't destroyed.
但是被毁哈，这个系统却没有断。
Even though their kingdom was destroyed, that genealogy, that line was not destroyed.
然后最后神就又把他们带回来。
At the end, God still brought them back.
那就看到神的恩典。
And that shows us God's grace.
所以从家谱里面看到拣选，看到恩典。
From the genealogy, we can see God's election, we can see God's grace.
然后最后呢，你看这个大卫的国度，最后就是要指向耶稣基督，他来到人间。
The kingdom of David will eventually lead us to Lord Jesus Christ, how he came to this world.
所以最后我们就看到这个弥赛亚国度，这个整个大卫的国度所要表达就是弥赛亚的国度。
Then what we see and realize that the kingdom of David will foreshadow the kingdom of Messiah.
我们最后看罗马书第一章。
Let's turn to Romans chapter 1.
罗马书第一章第一节。
Romans chapter 1 verse 1.
家谱其实它最重要就是要表达这个意义。
The importance of the genealogy is to tell us this point.
耶稣基督的仆人保罗，奉召为使徒，特派传神的福音。第二节。
2.
这福音是神从前借众先知和圣经上所应许的。第三节。
Three.
论到他儿子我主耶稣基督，按肉体说是从大卫后裔生的。第四节。
Four.
按圣善的灵说，因为从死里复活，以大能显明是神的儿子。现在耶稣基督是大卫的后裔，可是也是神的儿子。
Lord Jesus Christ is a descendant of David, but he's also the son of God.
那个家谱从大卫开始一直往前推到最后是亚当的，而亚当，然后亚当是从神来的，是神的儿子。
Trace the genealogy of David all the way back to Adam, you realize that Adam is God's son.
从大卫一直推到最后，后面就是耶稣基督诞生。
And from David, if you trace the genealogy forward, then that will lead you to Lord Jesus Christ.
他特别说主耶稣基督是神的儿子。
And here especially tell us that Lord Jesus Christ is the son of God.
所以大卫就成为了一个重要的转捩点。
And so David becomes a turning point.
这是他在历代志里面所要表达这个弥赛亚国度他的重心所在，要由这个大卫的国度去看到耶稣基督所建立这个属灵的国度他整个缩影。
And here is the point of the book Chronicle is from the kingdom of David, it is foreshadows the kingdom of Lord Jesus Christ.
然后都是从神来的。
But all came from God.
都是神的拣选。
It's all election of God.
是神的恩典。
And it's because of the grace of God.
所以我们今天如果我们看到了我们真教会是属灵的以色列，是属灵的以色列百姓。
So if we see that our church is the spiritual Israelites.
我们也是神所特选的民族。
That we were a tribe elected by God.
那这个国度是祭司的国度。
And this is a kingdom of priesthood.
所以我们今天在整个教会要敬拜神的系统，我们就要从圣经里面去看神当初怎么告诉让大卫把这个系统建立下来，我们要怎样得到所敬拜的是真的蒙神喜悦的。
So when we are serving God, we need to look back at the example of David and learn how he served God and what we can do to please God.
那这样子我们在读这一卷书的时候就不会只是看历史。
So in that way, when we read the book of Chronicles, we're not just reading a history.
我们看到神的计划。
We will see God's plan instead.
这个计划就是神救恩的 And
that plan is the scripture regarding God's salvation.
And
may Lord Jesus guide us.
Let us
sing hymn 511.
神的唯一的计划,
and God's only plan.